KYW News Radio and Deborah Heart and Lung Center team up to discuss arrhythmia, diagnosis, treatment, and management. Here's Rasa Kay.
Arrhythmias that occur in the top part of the heart can be merely distracting or quite serious, such as atrial fibrillation in the atria, which carries a risk for stroke. But cardiac electrophysiologist Dr. Rafael Corbizero says the most concerning rhythm disorder occurs in the ventricle.
The bottom part has some arrhythmias. The most significant one is ventricular fibrillation, which is the cause of sudden cardiac death, which is the number one cause of death in this country. It almost outweighs all cancers combined. Unfortunately, that could be the first presentation of heart disease, is sudden death. A small percentage of patients who show up with their first heart attack have sudden death, an arrhythmia problem, and that's devastating.
Learn more at DeboraHealthReport.com.
New Jersey's only heart, lung, and vascular specialty hospital, Deborah Heart and Lung Center. When it's your heart, demand Deborah.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Monday, November the 4th, Election Eve. The forecast looks good for Election Day. We'll talk about the forecast and everything happening as we are sponsored by Holland Floor Covering. In the news, Philadelphia, 7-year-old girl, She's dead after she was shot in Philadelphia. This happened yesterday inside a home on the 3800 block of I Street. This is the city's Juniata Park neighborhood. Police called to the scene, finding this young girl suffering from the gunshot wound to her face, rushed her to St. Christopher's Children's Hospital, where she was pronounced dead. So initially, investigators say two adults and two other children were inside the home when that shooting happened. They believe the victim and a 2-year-old were in the room together with that unattended gun, and the adults were reportedly not in the room when that gun went off. So at this point, they say this appears to be a tragic accident with children playing with a gun. It's not clear whether the 2-year-old or the 7-year-old actually pulled the trigger. Maybe they were fighting, you know, kind of handling it together back and forth. But in this case, authorities say two adults are now in custody with charges pending. Charges such as having a gun that was not locked up, and also was this illegally, you know, were they legal gun owners? But the bigger issue is never ever leave a gun unattended that's unlocked and loaded, as was the case here.
It's amazing the amount of people that just, you know, don't have a safety box, and then you don't take that box and stick it in a closet up high, you know, the whole bit. We shouldn't have to explain it, but sadly you do.
Yeah. How many times do we say that the police department, they'll give these out for free, the gun locks?
Yeah.
You know?
They want to do everything to make sure that you're sick, you know, handling it responsibly.
So an investigation underway as human remains were found in a Philadelphia park. This happened last night. According to police, the bones found at Penn Treaty Park in the city's Fishtown neighborhood, and this was last evening. Medical examiner later determining these remains were leg bones that had been washed up from the river, according to investigators. So the bones appeared to be a femur and a tibia, or the upper and which are the upper and lower leg bones. They're not sure of the age and gender of the person the bones belong to. Quite a creepy discovery, not so far away from Halloween, but this one, a lot of concern over this one. The medical examiner believes the person has been dead for a long period of time. So anybody with any information about that incident, they're asking you, please call Philadelphia police immediately. Obviously, they're trying to find out any kind of identity, DNA, and the nature of this person's death.
Wow, femur and a tibia. That doesn't happen every day.
I know, right? It's like
the game Operation.
Yeah. I know.
God, I used to hate that game. My hands were always shaking. I'd hit the thing and get zapped.
It's like, honey, look what, you know, you wonder if the dog found it.
Oh,
you know, because that's something if you're walking your dog at the, oh, what have you got? Oh, is that a deer? That looks a little too big to be a deer leg.
Right.
Gosh. By the way, we've talked a lot about Elon Musk. A hearing in that lawsuit against Elon Musk's giveaway, the $1 million giveaway, in which you have to sign a petition that says that, yes, you believe in the First and Second Amendments. So this one, as you know, a federal judge just last Friday rejected Musk's request to move to move the lawsuit to federal court. So Musk arguing the voter giveaway amounts, the DA Larry Krasner says that this lawsuit filed against Musk and his PAC 1 week ago, he argues the voter giveaway amounts to an illegal lottery scheme. Musk's lawyers call the lawsuit a publicity stunt. So at this point, it looks like the federal judge. So initially we talked about City Hall. What was that, Wednesday, Thursday? City Hall, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania judges, they were kicking this up to federal court. Now a federal judge on Friday has rejected Musk's request to move the lawsuit to federal court. So this is something we talked a lot about. So the back and forth now, it'll go back to court now. So it's basically being lobbed back and forth in the courts. And I don't have a definitive date for the next court date. But this all started with Philadelphia DA Larry Krasner filing this against Elon Musk and wanting him to cease and desist with these $1 million giveaways.
It's interesting. I don't recall Larry Krasner ever going after Mark Zuckerberg. Do you?
No, sir.
No. Man, you must have missed that one in the headlines.
No, not at all.
Although, wouldn't it be epic if this was a total troll job by Elon Musk? Like, Wednesday comes, the elections decide, and he's like, yeah, those $1 million things, I was only kidding about that. Could be it is a little PR. There's definitely PR to it. Elon Musk has become a showman as well down the stretch here. So I totally get it.
Just so we need another showman.
We love showmen. That's what I am, sir.
Well, speaking of showmen and show women, what about all the Philadelphia media is gushing over the star-studded lineup announced for the big Harris campaign election Eve rally?
No Tay-Tay, though, huh?
Oh, she couldn't secure Taylor?
I was very surprised that I thought the last, the Harris campaign would pull out of their hat the last minute. Taylor Swift here in Philadelphia. She's a Pennsylvania gal.
Right.
Thought maybe she would.
Berks County.
Yeah, I thought maybe she would come and sing for the plebes on the parkway tonight.
But yeah.
Apparently not.
Yeah.
Plebs on the parkway.
She did her part. She posted something months ago on Instagram.
Yeah, exactly.
She's selling her bracelets, so this is Benjamin Franklin Parkway this evening. A lot of road closures. Pay attention. We warned you last week.
When is this election over?
I know. Road closed. So I know Aiken's Oval was shut down. That started late last week. And now the Vine Expressway, there are many road closures. Pay attention to it, depending on if, unfortunately, you're in and out of the Philadelphia region. Crews have been setting up the venue for this rally and concert since last Thursday, as I said. And so Harris will take the stage in front of the Philadelphia Museum of Art. And this is all part of Kamala Harris's biggity-big.
Lady Gaga.
Yeah. Nothing like a bunch of elitists getting out and telling you what you need to do.
Yeah.
And that goes on both sides, by the way. I don't need Hollywood telling me what I need to do.
I can't wait till later this week when we can, when the national media can forget about Pennsylvania and Philadelphia.
Yeah, leave us alone.
And our roads back again.
Yeah, thank you.
So, yeah, it's Lady Gaga, Oprah, The Roots, Jasmine Sullivan, Freeway and Just Blaze, DJ Cassidy, Fat Joe.
Lean back.
Well, we have enough Fat Joes in Philadelphia already.
Obviously, we're the battleground state. Trump, I think, will be in three battleground states. So he's heading across the country, Allentown, as well as Michigan.
Three stops in the last 2 days in North Carolina. Interesting, right?
In Carolina.
I'm wondering what their internals are saying about North Carolina.
That might have to shore up that Tar Heel state, sir.
He spent three stops there in the last 2 days.
Path of least resistance, Carolina, Georgia, Pennsylvania. I would have punted on the West Coast months ago, but that's just me.
Also, Lancaster. Trump will be in Lancaster. Amish country.
Yep.
And talking about.
Harris is spending her entire day here today, right? And she spent her entire day yesterday in Michigan.
Well, yeah.
They go the last 2 days matters.
It tells you what they're seeing on the inside, right?
Yep.
Makes you wonder if they think that Trump's taking Georgia, Arizona, Nevada, which would then mean Harris would have to sweep from left to right across your radio dial, Wisconsin, Michigan, PA. But if she has North Carolina, then she doesn't need to sweep those three. Play around with it, folks. 270towin.com. It's a great website, great map. Dawn got me onto it like two. Dawn did two things for me months ago.
Oh, boy.
She told me about 270towin.com and Aldi. And since then, I've been a better man.
And when we first started the show, she told you to get your...
Get to the doctor.
Get to the doctor. And get
that's
your
right.
Heart,
which, by the way, I might need to make check. A. I might need to make a surprise doctor appearance today.
Oh, boy.
I got like a little fluid or something in my eardrum, in my right ear.
Oh, God.
So I either have a little ear infection, or they're going to have to slit my eardrum and drain that bad boy.
Unless you are literally on a ventilator, you are coming in this week.
Oh, no,
so
I'm
just telling you.
I feel fine. Okay. I just have
I'm just telling you.
A little bit of a muffled sensation in my right ear. So if I sound a little off today audibly, it's because I'm not hearing myself as well.
We once had a host here who called out the day after or the day of a big election.
That's a fireable offense.
Like literally the day after the results came in, like Wednesday.
Yeah, that, you can't do that.
They were out that day.
Yeah.
So
hydrogen peroxide.
I tried that on a little Q-tip swab.
And
yeah.
And almond oil.
Because the results didn't go the way he liked. Sorry.
We have Quincy Jones. So I don't know if they'll do a tribute to Quincy Jones, but legendary producer and composer. He has died at the age of 91 and remembered as one of a kind, working in the music industry for more than 75 years. He's a Grammy-winning producer, arranger, composer, multimedia entrepreneur, somebody beloved in the industry. So, many paying tribute to him. I don't know if they will this evening on the election eve event for Harris. And we also had why I'm wearing my green today.
Yeah.
Thank you, Philadelphia Eagles.
Like really, they barely squeaked out a win.
So we won.
You want to give the final score, Dawn? Go right ahead.
28-23 Eagles against, we beat the Jags.
Yes. Take that, Doug P. We'll always love you, Dougie, for giving us our first and only Super Bowl. But you had to take the L yesterday. By the way, Nick Sirianni might be the dumbest human being I've ever met. And I say that with all due respect for a guy he's 40-19 as a head coach right now in his career. 40-19, which is tremendous.
Tremendous.
Like 68%.
Yep.
And he's still the stupidest guy, the dumbest person. Take the field goal. Take the extra point. All right, enough of that.
Analytics.
I'm so sick of these analytic people. These number nerds. Well, the math says. Yeah, what's the math say if you don't get it, genius? Ugh.
We won.
I know, but like
against the Jacksonville Jaguars,
a win.
That game was 22-0 and should have been a bloodbath. Ended up being a nail biter.
I think we should. I mean, I guess technically, Nick, you were the closest, but I think we should push that to next week, right?
I guess.
And it's Dallas week.
Yeah.
Eek.
And Dak is hurt. How about that?
Well, thank you, Mr. Dean. Thank you, Mr. Barkley.
That thing you tweeted yesterday, Kale, with the sideline shot of Dak Prescott saying, we effing suck.
Yeah.
Amazing.
He knows it, too.
Yeah.
He knows it. But he's getting 50 mil a year, so he's good.
Yep.
So our forecast, as we are still sponsored by Holland Floor Covering, floor forecast today, mid-60s. Tomorrow, we're at 75 degrees. So a lovely day. No excuses. No excuses for not voting. And that was our floor. I didn't mean to say floorcast, but I kind of like that.
Yeah, floorcast.
Yeah.
The floorcast sponsored by Holland Floor.
There you
cover.
Go. Yeah. And that's good marketing right there.
It's like a little, So here we go. Holland Floor Covering is our region's premier flooring company, family owned carpet and flooring dealer. And new carpet, of course, creates that cozy atmosphere in your home and can really warm things up, add warmth to any room. So showrooms in Wayne as well as Newtown, free samples, no obligation estimates, hollandfloor.com, hollandfloor.com, Holland Floor Covering. Thank you for sponsoring Kale and Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:17, Monday morning. Let's get to another Big Take.
The Big Take. On Kale and Company.
And the Big Take this morning is brought to you by Budget Blinds. It's time for Last Call. Order that last drink, finish it off, pay your tab, and get out. That's right, Last Call, 2024 election. As we're now just one day away from sitting on the edge of our seats and finding out if Donald Trump gets back into the White House or if Kamala Harris goes from the number two to the number one. Both candidates, both parties jockeying for position as closing arguments have been made, polls are shifting, and the betting market's going crazy over the weekend. Many left-wing publications have decided not to endorse Kamala Harris. Those include the Washington Post, the USA Today, the LA Times, and the Minnesota Star Tribune. But have no fear, in Philadelphia, the Inquirer are making a last-second pandering push for the VP. Headline from Friday's edition, quote, "The Trump threat." The Inquirer editorial board spent the year sounding the alarm about former President Donald Trump's possible return to public office. They go on to write about, quote, "the former president's flaws, outlining his misdeeds, and highlights the risks of a second term," end quote. It was actually a pretty comical read. Yes, the risks of a second term that would dare to give us, I don't know, a good economy again. A secure border, low energy, low inflation, no wars, lower violent crime rates, and, I don't know, protecting females in sports and bathrooms. Oh, the tragedy. How could we ever manage to tolerate four more years of that? But if you didn't check out this weekend, you saw that the polls and the betting markets have gone absolutely crazy in favor of Kamala Harris. The Des Moines Register in Iowa with a shock poll that had Kamala Harris ahead of Trump 47-44. The final New York Times Siena poll has Kamala leading Trump in Georgia, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Nevada. Trump's odds in the betting market have plummeted down to just 54%. He is a small favorite, but it was as high as 67% just a week ago. But this is to be expected. Donald Trump actually anticipated this, and he said it would happen. Here was Trump with Joe Rogan last week. Listen and watch.
If I did, I wouldn't answer. I'm busy.
You know how polls are done? I'm going to get myself in trouble. But so I really don't believe too much in him. So,
well, 2016 taught a lot of people about the ineffective.
Well, they were very ineffective because I thought I was doing well. I'd go to a place and I'd have 30, 40,000 people. Hillary would go, they have 500 people, and they tell me I'm going to lose. I said, why am I going to lose? I had 40,000 people. She had 200 people. But, you know, I have a theory. These pollsters, they charge you a lot of money, too. You know, they charge you $500,000 to do some stupid poll, and they interview, like, 251 people. I don't think they interview them in many cases. I don't want to get myself in too much trouble.
You think it's
I think they sit there, they make a deal, they get $500,000, and they say, Trump's leading 51-49. They announce it, and everybody says, oh, do you understand? I think I'm a very common sense person. I think that they probably don't always poll. Some of them probably never poll. What's the difference between 49-51 and 47.5?
Well, it's also a tiny percentage of the population. I don't think it's representative of the overall population. I just don't think
it is. I don't know of one person in my whole life that ever got called by a pollster.
Exactly. That's my point.
Good polls, bad polls, accurate polls, inaccurate polls, they're merely talk show fodder. But now, to be honest, they're completely irrelevant because it's all about the early voting numbers. We are right in the middle of this election, and tomorrow's in-person election day voting will seal the deal for one of the two candidates. But the Wall Street Journal, with a very interesting headline on the weekend edition, saying, quote, "Young men could boost Trump to victory with the caveat of if they show up." They write, quote, "Former President courts key group with macho rhetoric and podcast appearances, but in the process risks alienating women." They go on to say, if men do show up, especially Gen Z 18 to 27, even though Gen Z only votes at less than 10%, it could decide the election. Keep in mind, we're talking about 44,000 votes in three swing states that decided this 4 years ago, end quote. Atlas Intel was the most accurate pollster in 2020, according to multiple nonpartisan publications. Here's what they had to say about white male turnout in Pennsylvania on election day, and that being the key to victory for Donald Trump. Listen and watch this.
Trump campaign so far, where they've been trying to reach out to Black and Latino voters, but they seem to always end up coming back to their more traditional base. And so I think what we're seeing here, and even this lead here, is a lot of people are dissatisfied with the Biden administration, and Kamala perhaps hasn't been able to distance herself from that. And so some people here are leaning for Trump. But in terms of the campaign message, we've seen that time and again where Trump sort of keeps coming back to this base, right? Into this idea, more to his more traditional base than this consistent maybe reaching out to Black and Latino voters.
the end of the day, what really makes a difference in the swing states, what will really make a difference on Tuesday, in my opinion, in a place like Pennsylvania, will Puerto Ricans there be important? Of mm-hmm. course. But even more so, will it will be the white turnout mobilization. So, you know, if white males really turn out for Trump on Tuesday, he can carry out Pennsylvania. And I think, you know, the whole garbage truck scene and whatever we're seeing in terms of efforts to mobilize voters in this phase of the campaign, it kind of makes sense. You know, from a strategic mm-hmm. perspective, this is what he needs. He needs to mobilize voters on Election Day in the Rust Belt states. This is what will make the difference between him winning or losing yeah. this presidential election.
And it's going to come down to gender, men against women, working class men against single, career oriented, college educated, liberal women. The path of least resistance for Trump remains the same by winning just 3 of the 7 swing states. If he can take North Carolina, which he has taken twice, if he can flip Georgia 10,000 votes from 4 years ago, and if he can take Pennsylvania, it is ballgame. But we also know the historical significance of the Rust Belt states and how they fall in line, in harmony together. If you take Pennsylvania, usually Michigan and Wisconsin fall in stride. But Mark Halperin is hearing that Kamala's campaign is struggling, and that's coming from a Democratic pollster and Democrats inside of her own camp. Halperin accurately predicted that Biden would drop out of the race on the exact date in which he did. That was July 21st. Here's Mark with the latest rumors over the weekend on where the Harris campaign stands. Listen and watch.
Okay. First of all, revelation for me today regarding the battleground states. It remains the base case that Vice President Harris is unlikely to win, according to my sources in both parties. Not sure thing, but unlikely to win Georgia, North Carolina, Arizona. If she doesn't win those three states, she must sweep Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. As forecast here a long time ago, it appears that she's basically back to where Joe Biden was on the eve of the debate. One electoral college path to exactly 270 electoral votes. So our intense focus for the rest of the way will be to continue to monitor to see whether she can actually win North Carolina, Georgia, or Arizona. Does not appear to my sources now that she will. Can she win the three Great Lakes states? And the focus has been on Pennsylvania. Here on this platform, we did a 2-hour show called It's All About Pennsylvania. And what I'm here to tell you tonight, based on my reporting with Democrats and Republicans nationally and in both those states, that it could be that Kamala Harris wins Pennsylvania but loses the White House because she loses Wisconsin. Michigan remains a bit of a puzzle. Both Kamala Harris and Donald Trump are doing dueling rallies near each other in Wisconsin tonight. Fitting, as far as I'm concerned, for my reporting. Because as I said, my reporting is that she's in trouble in Wisconsin. This is based on 3 sources, 2 Republicans, 1 Democrat, all of whom know the state quite well, and all of whom told me today the same version of they would be somewhere between surprised and shocked if Kamala Harris won Wisconsin.
But this election, while looked at from a state-to-state vantage point, really comes down to swing counties. And there are 18 swing counties in the 7 swing states. And they will likely decide this thing. You have 3 in Wisconsin, 2 in Arizona, 3 in Georgia, 3 in Michigan, 2 in North Carolina, 2 in Nevada, and 3 in Pennsylvania. We'll give you the details coming up at the bottom of the hour, but the time for speculation is almost over. Prognostications, forecasting, polling, reporting, early voting in the books, Election Day. That's it. Win or go home. Lose and deny. Win and celebrate. The formula, the path, it's all been laid out. The only question is, did everybody adhere? We get that answer shortly, and that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
And it's brought to you this morning by Budget Blinds. The holidays are coming. Budget Blinds, your one-stop shop for blinds, shades, shutters, custom drapery, and motorization. Visit budgetblinds.com for a free in-home consultation. And the only no-questions-asked warranty in the business. Schedule your holiday consultation today and ask about their special radio offer. If you want to jump in, 855-839-1210. Let it rip on Twitter at 1210WPHT. And, of course, in the YouTube YouTube chat. Just go to youtube.com/at1210WPHT. Let it rip and hit the like and subscribe buttons. We'll come back, get everybody's thoughts and reactions on the eve of the election, and we will do that coming up next. But first, a word from our friends at DuckDuckGo, because we're all tired of the big search engines, right? Google, Yahoo, Chrome, Firefox. We don't trust them. They suppress search results. They spy on you. It's just terrible. But that's why I'm so proud to partner with DuckDuckGo for a second time around here on Kale & Company. The best search engine going. And they are local. And now they are taking their quality product to the next level with online privacy and security, which is why I have subscribed, and I hope you will do the same, to Privacy Pro from DuckDuckGo. It's a 3-in-1 privacy service, which is going to give you a secure VPN anytime, anywhere. Secondly, they provide you identity theft protection. I don't want anybody looking at my bank info, social security number, or any of the deets that you put online when you're signing up for something or making a purchase or having a delivery to your house. And also, the third leg of the hat trick, personal information removal, which is really going to tick off those hackers and scammers out there. Take advantage of the special offer today exclusively for our listeners. Just go to duckduckgo.com/1210. Free 7-day trial offer. And then once you love it, and trust me, folks, you will. It's just $9.99 a month after that. Do it today. DuckDuckGo.com/1210.
You can use that DuckDuckGo browser and go to FanDuel.com/Greg. FanDuel.com/Greg. Because they don't keep or save any of your info. Cap off week, NFL Week 9 tonight at Monday Night Football with the Bucks at the Chiefs. All from FanDuel, partnership with the Valley Forge Casino. It's America's number one sportsbook. New customers can get $100, $150, excuse me, wow, $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. Tonight I'm going with this three-leg same-game parlay. Patrick Mahomes on the over, 1.5 passing touchdowns. Travis Kelce on the over for receiving yards, and KDOT can score an anytime touchdown. Go to FanDuel.com/Greg, FanDuel.com/Greg to make every moment more this season. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL and 1210 WPHD. 21 or ever, present PA, first online real money wager only, $5 first deposit required, bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is the Kale & Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
And my lady will sit there at her little church in Bluebell, and she won't ask for my license or my ID, and I'll show it to her anyway, and we'll go in, we'll do the whole charade, and then we'll get on the heck out of there. 855-839-1210. So, you know, interesting stuff over the weekend as both people, Donald Trump, Kamala Harris, making their final pitches all over, you know, these different swing states. And I do want to mention these swing counties here in a moment, but I did think it was interesting because a lot of people were overreacting to the Iowa poll that showed Kamala Harris with a 3-point lead. I was getting DMs throughout the weekend about the poly market, betting market. Oh my God, Trump's lead in the betting market is evaporating. You know, if you recall, we gave you the story of what the allegations were, that there was a few people making massive, massive bets on Donald Trump in this, you know, polymarket betting market platform. And I said to you in the past when we talked about this story that this is common. This is what they do in sports betting. Somebody comes in and bets it up really, really high on one team, and then the professional gamblers come in and they buy low on the other team. That's what I think is happening now. You have a lot of people last minute that are sharp money people, that are sharp gamblers, might not even be Kamala Harris supporters, but they might believe that she has a legit chance to win, and they were able to come in and buy her price cheaply. That's why Trump has come down. But you look at it, it's, you know, all of this stuff, and Dawn, I'm not sure if you saw any of it over the weekend. I would say just pump the brakes, good or bad, because polls at this point, I think, are worthless, right? We've got tons of data out there of people that have gone out early voting, Republicans doing a great job, specifically in Nevada, in Arizona, to Georgia, to Carolina, not as much in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, which is what obviously Harris would have to sweep if she doesn't win in the Sun Belt. But I would say, no, take the real statistical evidence out there of early voting.
That's your measuring stick right now. That's what you gauge success probability on, not polls. At this point, polls to me mean nothing. I don't know what you think about it.
Yeah, I think that, if anything, the polls for people waking up this morning and looking at how close it is, how close the election is, or in the case of McCormick Casey, you know, the lead of the digital version of the Inquirer, Philadelphia Inquirer, at least, saying that Bob Casey is way up against McCormick. What does it all mean? Well, you can make the difference by voting. And that's, at the end of the day, we can pontificate, everybody can wager and have fun as if it's a game. But when the rubber hits the road, it's all about getting the vote out there.
Mm-hmm.
It does concern me that, and I'll ask our friend Linda Kearns, by the way, we were texting over the weekend. And I didn't know if you wanted to, she's going to call in right at 10,
mm-hmm.
but if you wanted her, she's just trying to get information out. So I just wanted to put this out there. Linda Kearns, premier election integrity attorney here and in the nation as well, works for the RNC, but somebody who deeply cares, and we all know her very well, deeply
yep.
cares about election integrity. And she's saying, please remind voters that if you requested a mail ballot, but it was not marked as returned when you show up to the polls, you're just going to vote on a provisional ballot. Please don't be worried about that in any way. Your vote will count. And so also she's asking, remind voters that there may be long lines. That's okay. Stay in line.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that mantra that we've talked about.
Stay in line.
Do not get out of line.
Do not get out of line.
Whatever you do.
I don't care if the sun sets. I don't care if it gets 38 yeah. degrees. You're hungry. You're thirsty. Say, text your buddy. Say, get me some Pedialyte from Wawa. I'm not leaving the stinking line. Just don't pass out.
And make sure you got your phone. We've talked about that. Make sure you've got your battery charged. And just record any tangible evidence of anything that happens.
Keep your license, your registration, everything you need.
It happened late on Friday. I know Zioli was covering it, but did you guys see what was happening there in Levittown?
I did.
It
was dark out, right?
I'm curious if anybody from this listening audience, I'm sure they were, but anybody listening now was there to kind of give us the lay of the land of what happened. Because
mm-hmm.
There was like 5+ hours. People were waiting in line?
Yes.
It's unbelievable. It's just ridiculous.
They were starting to call in. So this was like Friday, close to noon. They were starting to call in on Friday to say, I've already been in line a couple hours. They're telling us we're going to be in, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it started in the morning, and they weren't bringing it. Then there were printers down at some of them. And people were getting it, and we were just saying, stay in line, yeah. stay in line.
Now you see why people want paper ballots, right? What can go wrong if you have paper ballots and you're not beholden to electricity and power and technology and Wi-Fi and, you know, all this ridiculousness? It's just amazing, right? And we've done that song and dance a million times. By the way, big election night coverage. We will have you covered starting at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Myself, Don Stensland, Rich Zioli, Mike Opelka, Jimmy Fallon. We're also going to have Dom. So we're going to have pretty much coverage straight through 11 p.m., perhaps later.
Yeah, and then Walter Sterling will take it into the wee hours of the morning. If anything happens that late, you know, he'll be all over it. But yeah, it's going to be all hands on deck. And by the way, we'll be streaming all night on YouTube. So make sure you're subscribed to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/at1210WPHT. You can watch it all from the comfort of your own house. Put it up on the big screen.
Yeah.
We'll have it all covered for you live and local, 7 to whatever we feel like.
Yeah. So whatever we sign off.
So what is it? Like, Greg, what if it's actually something definitive or something? Are you going to make a game time call as far as how does that work?
Greg's like Sirianni. He's looking at the analytics. He might go for the extra point. He might go for two. He hasn't decided.
What do you, I'm not. What if you think if it's over at 11 p.m.?
If it's over at 11 p.m., you'll get my thoughts at 6 a.m.
Being from a newsroom background, I live for that. I'm so pumped, but you know, anything can happen. Okay. Yeah. So
here's the problem is that we're not a news station, so we don't have access to wires and all that stuff. So we're just kind of reacting. to things.
You should see the...
I'd change your pretty voices on...
It doesn't matter, though. Sometimes that kind of a grassroots approach, that it's all about you, you know what I mean? Like, you never know.
The Kale Command Center will be officially set up today. I've got the... grabbing my wife's work desk. I'm sticking that bad boy right in front of the big screen. I've got all my studio equipment set up. So you're going to be able to get to watch all of us. But if you've ever wanted to watch me, like on a weekend when I'm going nuts over college football or the NFL, I'll be live from my home studio, topless, drinking whiskey while I'm broadcasting.
Topless.
We're going to break into
He's
all
the only
these
one
swing
topless.
Counties. Yeah.
Now, your wife told me it's the Christian Command Center. I'm just saying, so you can call it. No,
yeah, she's got no command, though. Let's clear that up right now. Here's the thing. Let me give you these swing counties, which I think is fascinating. And, you know, you tune into us tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. I'm personally going to have probably Fox up on my television, social media, the internet, the whole bit going. But pay attention to these swing counties. The Daily Mail had a good breakdown of all of the swing counties that will impact the seven swing states. So Wisconsin has, quote, three swing counties. There's Door County, Richland, and Marquette County. In Arizona, you have Maricopa and Santa Cruz County. In Georgia, you have Fayette County, Sumter County. And in Michigan, you have Muskegon County and Saginaw County, as well as Grand Traverse County. North Carolina, New Hanover County, Cabarrus County, and then, of course, in Nevada, Clark County and Washoe County, not sure how you pronounce that. And then, of course, here in Pennsylvania, Erie County, Lackawanna County, and Northampton County.
Yep.
Those are your 18 swing counties in your seven swing states, unless something goes terribly, terribly wrong for somebody. And somebody who's able to win Virginia or flip a state that maybe they typically would not be able to flip.
Or Iowa.
Or New York or California. No, I'm just kidding. Or New Hampshire, right? So you've seen all these stories that have been coming out. You know, it's fascinating to me that we are seeing so much. And I think this is all by design, right? Like, you're in the 23rd hour. This person's doing good. This person's doing bad. Now, all of a sudden, this person's tanking. This person's surging. I have no idea. And I was getting tweets about this over the weekend. I forget what one of our gals that follows us. She's got an Eagles Twitter feed, but she's a big hardcore listener of the station. So I know she's into politics. And she asked in one of my tweets if we have made predictions. And I think I speak for all of us because we've talked about this in the past.
Dawn made a prediction.
Did Dawn make a prediction?
I think she did, didn't she?
I thought we were all going to refrain from predictions because we didn't know. Because you know me. I told you 2 years ago during the last moments of the anticipated red wave that I didn't think it was going to happen. I have no idea what it's going to happen tomorrow. I really don't. I could see Trump winning. I could see Harris winning. The only thing I feel, and I can't even say I'm 100% confident in this, the only thing I feel very confident is that I don't think there's going to be 300 in the Electoral College. I think the winner will be shot. They'll be in the 200s, 281, 276, whatever the number might be, however the math may play out. I do not think we will see somebody eclipse the 300 mark in the Electoral College for that vote. That's my only prediction.
I did predict Trump will win. Okay. But that's more of my hope and my prayer,
mm-hmm.
if you want to call it a prediction. But okay. I believe and I have faith that Trump will prevail.
All right. Well, if Trump's
the
going...
better of the country.
Yeah, amen to that.
Does the Iowa poll at all... Nobody thinks she's going to win Iowa. Does the Iowa poll at all have you concerned on Stensland because of what it actually tells?
Every piece of the Iowa poll, Scott Pressler, you make me crazy. You know what I mean? Like, all of it makes me worry because there are so many, you know, there are so many facets to this election. And so, yes, all of the above have me worried. And if you care about this country, you should be worried, which is why the one thing everybody can do is go out and make sure that you vote, no matter how busy you are, no matter what comes up.
You guys know what happened July
20th. Vote and stay in line.
You guys know what happened July 29th, what went into effect in Iowa, right?
What? No.
The six-week abortion ban.
Okay. Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody who poo-pooed me, it doesn't matter. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
just keep telling yourself.
The abortion on the ballot. We've talked about it. I mean, the thing about it is.
Yeah, but I've been told that it's so far down on the list. No, I never said it was. Nobody really cares about it.
I don't say that.
I take nothing for granted as far as, you know, there are 10 states with abortion on the ballot. 10. And so, you know, including Nevada, for example, Arizona. And so,
Florida has a history.
So all of this, with all of the commercials, I mean, they're spending, this is going to be precedent setting with these ads that you're, everybody's just being bombarded with this. What will the impact be? I don't have the answer. Look at SNL right now. Even the FCC came out, and I know we'll talk about it, but Saturday Night Live having Kamala Harris on, you know,
Did they not invite Trump? Did they not invite Trump? I'm curious. I don't know. I don't know that.
Oh, I have no idea.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
The FCC is coming out saying that they violated the equal time rule.
Yeah.
And that was a month. Wasn't it about a month ago that they said that they were not going to have either one on? I remember we talked about it on the show. So what, I don't know what Lauren Michael decided to do in the last minute. But apparently Harris canceled a campaign event to do SNL. But here's the thing with SNL. Like, you can't have it both ways. Now, I get it. Yes, if you violate the law, you violate the law. That's a big issue. But you can't be like, and I'm one of these guys, so I won't put out faux outrage today because I always say SNL stinks and nobody watches anymore. And by the way, too, if Kamala or Trump being on SNL is your deciding factor on who you're going to vote for, I just can't imagine that person exists out there, right? Like, it's 11:38 on a Saturday night, and you're undecided, and one of your candidates comes on SNL, and you're like, you know what, honey, that does it. I'm in. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on.
But I think in general, the media, and Greg played some clips last week, one in particular, where, you know, they snip it, and they make it sound like he said something differently, or they don't put things in context. Everything is against a Trump win. I just feel like he's against all odds. I really do. It's like a 1970s movie title.
All right, so you and I disagree on two things. I think he's in the best shape he's ever been in 8 years. And I also don't worry, and this is a nonpartisan look at these shock polls. I didn't overreact to that one New Hampshire poll that had Trump, you know, ahead of Harris. So I'm not going to overreact to Harris ahead of Trump in Iowa. I try to look for the common themes and trends. And when you see the trends for 6 weeks or 8 weeks or 12 weeks, that to me is a bigger sample size of where this election is going with, you know, the needle moving in a certain direction as opposed to like a statistical outlier. Don, you mentioned abortion being on the ballot. Let me give you the 10 states. Yep. Arizona, swing state. Mm-hmm. Colorado, non-swing state. Florida, non-swing state. Maryland, non-swing state. Missouri, non-swing state. Montana, non-swing state. Nebraska, non-swing state. Nevada is a swing state. New York, non-swing state. South Dakota, non-swing state. And there's your 10. So you have two swing states.
So Daniel in the YouTube chat says, now you believe polls, Greg. No, I don't believe polls at all. That's not what I took from the Iowa poll. Let me be clear. Kamala Harris is not winning Iowa. Okay, let me be clear. However, there are things to be taken from that poll as to who is voting and what age demographic is breaking for Kamala Harris. That is what I'm talking about. And I've been giving you guys breadcrumbs all week with this mail-in and in-person, early in-person ballots, the gender gap is 53-44. They're 70% of them are over the age of 55. The senior demo for women are going by Kamala Harris in big numbers, and that's what that Iowa poll tells me.
They were all out in Flower Town. They were all out. I was driving to early morning football. I'm like, what are all these women like in that demographic? Yep. And they're outside. They're like lining Bethlehem Pike. I'm like, what is going on? It's like, ladies, I think that age demo, they weren't like 20-year-old women. They were the demo that Greg is talking about. And they're out there with signs and talking about Roe v. Wade and abortion.
I don't know if polls capture that. I'm telling you, I don't think polls capture that. I think polls since the beginning have been complete bunk. So I don't think polls can, look anything can happen.
Nobody, oh, yeah.
Anybody who tells you I know exactly what's going to happen is lying. is lying. They don't know what's going to happen. If anybody had a crystal ball, you know, nobody knows.
I don't even know that you can say you're making an educated guess. I think you're just, you know, taking a stab here. Well, I think 281 to 257. All right, well, what's that based on? And you can certainly go through, you know, the different demographics and say, well, if Trump gains here, but if Trump loses there and Harris picks up this, I mean, there's a lot of ways to look at it. That's what the exit polls are for. And that's what we'll make sense of, you know, right through Thanksgiving break and into Christmas. I just want to mention that, speaking of the gender gap, Wall Street Journal, very interesting story with Trump's push to boost turnout amongst young men. I actually shared this with my sister yesterday, and she was like raging. She's like, you young men better. She's texting me. I'm like, I'm not a young man, and I'm already voting. You don't have to worry about me. But she's the Wall Street Journal writes the following. Donald Trump is pinning his political future on winning the votes of disaffected young men. Kamala Harris doing the same with females, particularly moderates and independents. For Trump, the challenge is that young men in particular, at far lower rates than many other demographic groups, they are more likely than older generations and their female peers to be disconnected from politics, and they are increasingly disillusioned with the country's institutions. Throughout the campaign, and this is really where they make the point, Trump has tried to make an appeal to young men in many different facets, from showing up at, as you recall, the sneaker convention right here in Philadelphia, the Ultimate Fighting Championship events in New Jersey, appearing on Rogan's podcast, and then on Thursday he received, and again, I don't really think endorsements work, but he did receive the endorsement of boxer and social media influencer Jake Paul, who has 20 million subscribers on YouTube. And I know this for a fact, that young 18 to 27-year-old men, even probably younger than 18, although they're not eligible to vote, they love themselves some Jake Paul.
Now, if you go the other way, and I'm just looking at the early vote and mail-in, but if you look at, we've said this before, 18 to 29-year-olds, it's only 9%. 9%. And look, that could, you could look at that two ways, because Kamala Harris desperately needs 18 to 29-year-old females to come out for her.
Correct.
So you can look at that too, like that maybe the 18 to 29-year-olds are not motivated to come out and vote for either of them, which is a huge loss in the loss column for Kamala Harris, because she needs that young demo to come out for her in a big way.
Mm-hmm. I think it's very simple. I think Trump has a really solid chance as long as men get up off of the couch and they vote. If they sit back and they're passive, I think Trump will lose. If they're as motivated as I tend to believe they are, and I can't imagine you being a male Trump supporter not being motivated after the last 4 years and sitting this one out. If you do your job, as early voting has shown, you know, early voting has been pretty strong in especially the the swing states in the Sun Belt, which is still an interesting, maybe, Greg, if you can get NBCNews.com up later in the show, we can go through the states again and look at those numbers. It's been a good exercise. We can do that later in the show. But yeah, you got to do your job tomorrow. And as Dawn said, stay in line.
By the way, this is as accurate as polling is. So
I like this better than polling, to be honest.
Well, I'm not making anything out of this. I'm just telling you that there are these, you know, these are real, this is real tangible data we have, unlike polling.
Right.
You know, and by the way, if you look at party registration, this is nationwide. It's 41 Democrat, 39 Republican, 20 other. Mm-hmm. So the Republicans are holding their own as far as nationally.
So the 20 other, the independent vote, to your point, Greg, matters. And then the Jill Stein, the independent votes as well, is in play.
Yeah, will the independents break more for Kamala Harris than Trump? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a big factor.
That's right. 855-839-1210. Dawn will have news to kick off hour number two. And then before we get to the cut sheet, we have to get to this Atlantic story, some calling it a hit piece against Donald Trump. Again, I don't think these things matter as far as deciding the election at this point, but who's chirping behind the scenes? We'll get to that. And also, Peanut the Squirrel, he's no longer with us. Social media in a tissy over the weekend. We'll try to make sense of what actually happened and why the state of New York would do this. It's Kale and Company. Back after this.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.